Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to welcome you to Cooks Memorial Presbyterian Church. We're delighted that you're here with us to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, I have a couple of announcements to make before we get started. First, everyone and anyone is invited to join us tonight for Great Stories of the Bible at 6 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. Future dates are printed in your bulletin. All children and youth are invited to join us next Sunday for our annual Palm Sunday processional. Just a reminder that the children join us no later than 9:40 a.m. to participate. Cook's children of all ages are also invited to join us immediately following our worship service on the front lawn on Easter Sunday, April 17th, for our annual Easter egg hunt. We're looking forward to seeing all the kids out for that fun time. Donations of small individually wrapped Easter candy and spring trinkets would be greatly appreciated by next weekend, and please give to Paige Benson. Everyone is invited to join us Thursday, April 14th for a delicious and traditional Easter dinner and some great fellowship as we'll be eating together in the fellowship hall at the community meal from 5 to 6:30. And then we encourage you to stay for our Monday-Thursday service in the sanctuary at 7 p.m. Please also remember that we will have an Easter sunrise service at 7 a.m. in the morning. That should be outside, but we may move it into the sanctuary, weather depending. And then thanks to the men, we'll enjoy a breakfast. The men of the church will enjoy a breakfast immediately following. So make sure to come for that. Just a reminder, we will collect the 2022, that's harder to say than you'd think, one great hour of sharing offering on the next two Sundays. So that's next Sunday and Easter Sunday. The beautiful flowers in our sanctuary are in honor of Diane Black on her birthday, which is today, April 3rd, by her family. Happy birthday, Diane. Oh. I was looking at Dwight, and I was like, well, I know you're here. I know you're here. Those are the announcements that I have this morning. Are there any announcements that need to be brought before the congregation? Oh, yeah, good point. Well, yeah. I'm glad we fought for that. Yeah. It is for everyone, and so please do come and join us. Any other announcements we have this morning? All right. That being the case, let us open our hearts and minds to the worship of Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he.
Let us pray. Like a deer longs for flowing streams of water, O Lord, so our souls long for you. Gracious God, this morning, by the power of your Holy Spirit, be for us living water. Rain upon us with your goodness and your mercy and your love and your reminders to live the life that you've created for us, O Lord. Heavenly Father, attend to our worship, allowing us to hear and see those things that you would have us know, O Lord, this day. For all things are yours, and to you alone belong all honor and power and glory. And we make these prayers to you in the strong and holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Amen. I invite you now to join with me as we sing our first hymn, number 66.
Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray.
First John reminds us that if we say that we have no sin, that we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But that if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of any and all unrighteousness. So in humility and in faith, let us join our voices now today, praying our prayer of confession found in this morning's bulletin, leaving a few moments toward the end for a silent confession to the Lord of our inward transgressions. Join me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we lower our heads before you, and we confess that we have too often forgotten that we are yours. Sometimes we carry on our lives as if there were no God, and we fall short of being a credible witness to you. For these things we ask your forgiveness, and we also ask for your strength. Give us clear minds and open hearts, so we may witness to you in our world. Remind us to be who you would have us to be, regardless of what we are doing or who we are with. Hold us to you and build our relationship with you and those you have given us on earth. Amen. Friends, the God who made us has not left us in our transgressions, but has acted through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know without question that God has chosen to act in this world on our behalf. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Glory. Now let us confess what it is we believe in shared belief as Christians using the words of this ancient creed, the Apostles' Creed, printed in this morning's bulletin. Join me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated and join me in our meditative hymn number 729. This time we'd like to invite the children to come down and have a seat here on the carpet as Miss Petey has the time just for them.
Good morning. I'm glad there's some children out there today. Because I have something for you. A few Sundays ago, I talked to the congregation about our special offering that we're going to be taking up starting next Sunday and the Sunday afterwards, called the One Great Hour of Sharing. And it's to help people around the world, help people who are hungry, who have suffered through the crisis in the Ukraine, perhaps, homeless, the environment, pollution, tornadoes that have been going on around our country. All people in all areas have been having problems, but this offering can help them. And what I'm going to give you is a fish box. And when you put it together, it looks like this. And you're going to put coins in it. Okay. I want to challenge you to think about every time you eat a meal, put coins in that box for somebody that didn't get a meal that day. Every time you sleep in a comfortable bed, put some coins in that box for somebody that doesn't have a bed. Any of you going on vacation this next week? Okay. You going to the beach? Okay. If you see trash on the beach, would that be something that you could do? Or you're probably going camping, right? And you find trash or something, you could pick it up, put coins in that box because you helped our environment. Anytime you do anything kind for someone, remember, you're helping others around the world. And so I want you to bring these boxes back, not next Sunday, but on Easter Sunday. And I hope that they'll be full. Okay? And then you'll be helping with the offering in your own special way. Okay? Pray with me. Dear God, thank you for us being able to help in our own special ways for those who are in need. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to come and get a fish box. Lily, would you take one to Ben? You give one. Is your brother, would he want one?
Oh, yes.
Okay, do you need two? Lily needs two. Buddy didn't get one or wants to come and get one for a child, there are others right up here. Thank you.
Thank you.
We come now into a time of reading and proclaiming of the Word of God. As Presbyterians, we're people of the book being the Bible. And we find in the Word of God, God moving and stirring within us by the power of His Holy Spirit. So it's right and fitting that we say a prayer reaching up to the Spirit, asking for His participation in our reading. Join me now in prayer. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, as this Word of God is read, move within our hearts, awakening us to Your plans and Your progress, O Lord. Sanctify us completely through this preaching and proclaiming of the Word so that we might be prepared for this world as we approach Holy Week, O Lord, a time in which we can quietly proclaim the love and devotion that we have for Jesus Christ in this, Your world. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
This morning's Old Testament scripture reading is from Isaiah 43, verses 16 through 21, and these can be found in your pew Bible on page 719. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing, now it springs forth. Do not perceive it. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, and they might declare my praise.
My mom is moving to a retirement center, and it's going to be this Tuesday. And as I was with her this past week to prepare to do some final preparations for that move, I realized with a small degree, well, it's a relatively large degree of wistfulness, that the sights of all of the important celebrations in my life, the big ones, were no longer going to be there for me and for my family in the same way. You see, I'm one of those strange and odd birds that I think I had celebrated every single Christmas and Easter and 4th of July, all of the big holidays at an assortment of three houses in the Charlotte area, my grandmother's, my aunt's, and my mom's. Now, my grandmother is passed on. My aunt moved to the same retirement center a few months prior to my mother's move. And now my mom's home has been sold and is awaiting the new owners. You know, parties, celebrations are such important times in our lives. And it's understandable that we look forward to them with great joy. And we've got spring arriving, and with spring's arrival, we know with certainty that there'll be more weddings, there'll certainly be graduations and celebrations of all sorts of varieties coming up, and hopefully they'll all find a good location, just like I've been blessed to have throughout all these years of my life. The thing is, we read this morning today about a celebration. Now, unlike Christmas or Easter or any of these other ones, this was a celebration of Jesus, but with Jesus in the body attending there physically. That why were they celebrating? Why is this scene in John's Gospel included? Well, they were celebrating Lazarus' resurrection. Now, the chapter just before in John chapter 11, this reading, what we find is that Jesus has come to the tomb where Lazarus has been laid to rest. 3 days after his demise. And Jesus has spoken words, and Lazarus has emerged from the tomb unscathed, no longer scathed by the power of death. So this was a party that was a highly enjoyable one, you might imagine, if you're Lazarus, because it would have been the marked change. But everyone is there. Everyone's expecting a good time. And then something happens. A reveler, a party goer, takes it perhaps what maybe many in the room thought was just a little too far. So let's hear about that as we come now into reading the Gospel of John. I read the 12th chapter. This morning I'll read verses 1 through 8, inviting you now to hear the word of our Lord. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Was this ointment not sold for 300? Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We come into this passage and we see three portraits of discipleship, really, if we'll look closely enough. The first one, we've already gotten an insight into Martha, haven't we? If we've been reading our scriptures, we'll remember that Martha is the sister that, as Mary sits with Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, that Martha's the one busy as a bee getting things done. She's doing something similar here, serving. That's a valid way to really truly honor Jesus in your heart. Lazarus, we also see another of these siblings. Lazarus is reclining and enjoying the moment with Jesus. We can think of that as being in fellowship or in prayer with Jesus. But Mary we see does something unusual, doesn't she? Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus with her hair. It was would have been a very staggering display of devotion. This was a costly devotion. The text mentions that the ointment itself, spikenard is what it is, it's a little known plant that existed in the ancient Near East that not much is known about, other than it was exceedingly rare and it took an inordinate amount to make this kind of ointment. And so they even give a mention of how much it cost, 300 denarii, which for you and I is just sounds like a number, but 300 denarii was a significant one because it was the average wage of a worker for an entire year. So here into this wonderful party for celebrating Lazarus' resurrection, Mary comes with this exceedingly expensive perfume and anoints the feet of Jesus and wipes it with her hair. This would have been a show-stopping moment for those involved. We know that because we hear the objection. And it's interesting because here the objection comes from none other than Judas Iscariot. But you get the sense that he wasn't the only person in the room thinking the way he thought. You get the sense that the other disciples themselves were just as shocked, just as taken aback by this costly act of devotion, such that no one quite understood what was going on. This was actually a full year's worth of wages I'm sure everybody at that party, seeing this woman with her hair draped on Jesus' feet, would have assumed that Mary had lost her mind. This was too great a devotion. And like I said, it's Judas that does the actual articulation of what is perceived as the problem. And yet at the same time, it's Judas that we know will betray Jesus. The text even gives us that. And it reminds us that sometimes it's easy to make declarations with words of what you would do. What is it? How is the old expression go? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Well, this wasn't even a good intention. We know that he actually had intended to steal this money. And so for him, what he saw was not only this act of amazing devotion, but he saw the loss of his own income. It would have been a terrible sight for him to see, but how does it remind us that do our words line up with our hearts? Because what Judas says is that this ointment could have been sold for the poor and helped, but in his heart he had other designs. Do we ever do something similar? Do we with our mouths sometimes say one thing, but already in our hearts nurture another intent, another desire? That's an example of our brokenness, and it happens to us all at occasions where our words far outstrip the intent of which they are spoken. But this devotion of Mary stands as a strong and a clear counterpoint to that. If words are going to be hollow at times, actions speak far louder. And the actions that Mary took here were costly. They were an act of devotion. Judas just wants to talk. How often do we just want to talk as opposed to doing the work? There is a deadly sin. I was thinking about it this week. It's called vainglory. Vainglory occurs when you wish to be held in esteem, but don't really want to do the work to be esteemed. It's the person that says, isn't it good that we do this, and then doesn't do any of that when nobody is looking. It is a duplicity that which our actions betray the falsity of our words. Judas just wants to talk. Mary wants to act. And it brings us to what I think is the intent of this entire passage. And it is all about honoring Jesus with a costly devotion. We have seen that Mary was willing to take on even the insults of the crowd to do this act of devotion to Jesus, an act that cost her both time and money and the esteem of her friends. We would think her nuts. You know, it's yesterday. I was fortunate here to host a breakfast for about 50 of my Kairos brothers. Now, Kairos is the prison ministry I take part in. I used to on an ongoing basis, but as COVID has hit, we've been grounded. But the meeting yesterday was the first in what we're hopeful is going to be a new emergence of that ministry. And 50 of us gathered here yesterday. And there came a time for just words of praise, words of testimony. And almost to a man, everyone got up and started with this same declaration. My family thought I was nuts when I told them I was going to prison for a weekend. Everyone almost begins with that story. And you can understand why. Because that's a costly devotion. That devotion takes 4 days of being in the prison plus 4 Saturdays of all-day training. So to get there takes work. And it's the kind of work that when you tell people you're going to do it, oftentimes you get that little hesitancy, that little caution. You've heard it before, perhaps when you're going to be doing something bigger than maybe than your friend thought was prudent. And they say, are you sure about that? Well, honoring Jesus with a costly devotion means that just like Mary, you're going to hear some of that. What are the things that you might do? What are the things that you've contemplated doing and haven't done because you knew for Jesus, because you knew that in saying it you would get pushback? What Mary is willing to do here is take the pushback. That's how we know it's an honored, it's an obligation, it's a devotion that she is performing. She's honoring Jesus in a costly fashion. How are we doing that? Do we do that? Do we think about the ways in which we are dedicated? Are we honoring Jesus in our heart? Because I think if we honor Jesus in our heart, there are going to be some telltale signs that this costly devotion is at work. The first one, I think, is you're going to honor Jesus in your home. Now, look, that seems like a no-brainer, doesn't it? After all, if we're Christians, then our homes are the site of the bulk of our time. And as a result, what happens sometimes is this sanctuary, this place that we're supposed to be strengthening for the journeys ahead, can oftentimes be a place of spiritual apathy. There are a great many of folks that will pray with others, but not pray in a meal before their home. And I stand guilty on occasion of that myself. You see, at home, we let our guard down. We let things slide. See, maybe I'm not the only one that has a little vainglory in their lives. We want others to see us do these costly acts of devotion. But then when we're all alone in the safety and privacy of our own home, are we doing the things that our words often say? So if you're honoring Jesus with your whole heart, if you're engaged in a costly devotion to the Lord of Jesus, you're going to find home to be the epicenter of your faith life. I had some congregants one time that I went to visit in the middle of July, and I was surprised to find a creche or a nativity scene out on one of their tabletops, and I couldn't help but ask. And you see, somebody had made a sermon about how we take out those creches once a year, and then we jam them back in our attics or our storage rooms as soon as the season is over. But that if we're dedicated to Jesus, maybe that creche stays out all year. And for whatever reason, that had hit a real note in this particular congregant's life, and she went on to share a story. She went on to share a story about how when you're at home, sometimes tempers can get a little hot when you're loved ones. And she was remarking that one of the things that creche did for her is that it reminded her that Christ was present in their home, that baby that we all want to celebrate on Christmas morning was just as present and active and loving as he is all the time. And she said it was often the creche that would focus them all back on the love that existed, or that should exist between the family. So if we're engaged in a costly devotion to Jesus Christ, we're going to see that those things come to pass. Another way that we can look and certainly know that we're honoring Jesus with a costly devotion is, are we giving our best to Jesus, or are we giving our best to some other pursuit or other things? You know, I see this most clearly in the lives of my friends. I have these amazingly talented friends, and they're doing amazing things at work, but they're pouring into their lives so much at work that there's so little other things. It's like they've lost the thread on what's important. They may be giving their all, but they're giving their all to selfish pursuits, ultimately. We see this in a lot of different ways where folks are investing, but they're investing on their own behalf and not investing on behalf of others around them. Another way by which we see and know that we're engaged in a costly devotion is when we're willing to be humble to serve Jesus Christ. You know, I've got an exemplary example of this. When I was in Durham, I was fortunate enough to work for a nonprofit that had been founded by a woman named Marcia Owens. Now, Marcia had founded this ministry called the Coalition for a Nonviolent Durham. It was an unfortunate name. It was a great ministry. Marcia had started this, even though Marcia was a whiz-bang corporate attorney who could have done a lot of things for a lot more money than running around doing prayer vigils at the site where people were killed. Marcia was willing to even take the scorn of her friends. I was there with her one time at a restaurant when she ran into a classmate of hers. And the two began what often occurs whenever there's a reunion. They began locating where each other were at that time and place. And the one woman was serving as an associate district attorney. She was clearly on the way up in that prosecutorial office. Marcia talked about her role at the Coalition for a Nonviolent Durham. And you could see the blank, expressionless gaze come over the other lady's face. And just the, oh, that came out afterwards. You see, you could tell whether or not the woman spoke it or not, that the woman was shocked, stunned by what Marcia had chosen to do with her life. And she was not afraid to show it in her face. Marcia was willing, I think about that often, when I realized that that was just one incident, and how many others had she endured to do those same kinds of things. You see, when we are honoring Jesus with a costly devotion, we're willing to take those barbs, those looks askance that say to us, are you really doing what you should be doing, or are you doing something other? And the final way that we can know is that you're willing to take criticism for what you're doing. You know, it's one thing to humble yourself. It's another thing to face the outward scorn of others. And that's another way that we can know. And I think about all of those people that are out there doing things. You see, sometimes even ministry is considered to be a circumspect occupation. You see, when we honor Jesus with a costly devotion, our lives are different. They take turns and twists. They go in areas that others may in fact think are wrong. They may even issue their words of criticism for what we're doing. And yet we take them all in stride because we know who we serve. We serve none other than Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the one to whom we owe everything. The scriptures remind us that Jesus was participatory in creation, that all things, according to Colossians, were created through him. In Jesus Christ, we meet the one who came into this world as a servant to serve us. He didn't have to, he didn't need to. But he did. It was his nature because, as we know from 1 John, God is love, and it wasn't loving to leave us the way we were, trapped in our sin. And Jesus came and changed that whole dynamic. That's the reason Mary does that amazing act. Her brother has been raised from the dead. She recognizes ultimate goodness, and she pours into it with everything she's got, not caring about the criticism of the world around her. And that's exactly what we're called to do. Because when we do that, when we find ourselves taking the criticism, giving our best to Jesus, and doing these costly acts of devotion, what we find is that new creation, that new wonderful life that the Bible talks about. And when we find that, we find the pearl that's worth everything. We find the treasure hidden in the field. We find the thing that we long for the most, the love of our awesome and holy God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Having heard the word read and proclaimed, it's right and fitting that we turn our attention to the lifting up of our prayers of intercession and supplication. Let us go now to the Lord for that. Wonderful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, We come before you now, having heard your word read and proclaimed, and confident more so in your grace and in your love. We trust that not only do you hear our prayers, but that you do indeed respond to them and well. In humility and in faith, we lift up these prayers of intercession and supplication, praying for all of the people who've been affected most recently by the coronavirus. O Lord, we recognize that the pandemic has waned, and yet there are still families and lives intersecting with this illness, and so we continue to pray for them, O Lord. We pray that wherever this illness lifts up, that you would bring your healing and your healing touch, O Lord. We pray for the doctors and nurses and all the primary caregivers that are doing such continued good work in this world. O Lord, we continue our prayer for those who've lost loved ones in this last few months. O Lord, we recognize that losing someone we love can come with a real loneliness. Heavenly Father, whenever or wherever that loneliness exists, we just ask that your Holy Spirit joins the loneliness to bring comfort and hope and healing, O Lord. Be with all of our members who have lost loved ones over the last 6 months. Continue to abide with them, reminding them that their loved one is safe with Jesus and that they shall be together one day again. Oh Lord, we pray for our country, just asking that you keep us safe, that you keep us unified, oh Lord, that you keep us working toward the betterment of all. And to that end, oh Lord, we pray for our country's leaders, our state's leaders, our municipalities' leaders, oh Lord. Give these wisdoms all insight necessary to perform their function. Fill with them all a spirit of equanimity, so that all would be looked out after from the greatest to the least among us. O Lord, we pray for all of our troops stationed wherever they are in the world, just asking that you keep them safe. We pray for our first responders, asking that as they do their jobs to keep us in our homes and safe, that you keep them protected and loved as you have been. O Lord, we pray for Byron Beach. We pray for Dennis and Debbie Abernathy. We pray for Jill Griffin. We pray for Jack McClure. O Lord, we think about the Alexander family, and we pray for them on the loss of Mildred, just as we pray for all that are grieving. Heavenly Father, we make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all concluding with the prayer Jesus taught us praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Having heard the word read and proclaimed, it's right and fitting that we turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings, remembering God loves a cheerful giver.
Teach me to pray, Lord, teach me to pray. This is my heart cry, day unto day. I long to know thy will and thy way. Teach me to pray, Lord, teach me to pray. Living in thee, Lord, and thou in me, constant abiding, this is my plea. Grant me thy power, boundless and free, power with men and power with Thee. My weakened will, Lord, Thou canst renew. My sinful nature, Thou canst subdue. Fill me just now with power anew, power to pray and power to do. Living in Thee, Lord, and Thou in me, constant abiding, this is my plea. Grant me Thy power, boundless and free, power with men and power with Thee. Praise God from whom all blessings are. Praise Him above me. Praise Him above me. Praise Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, You are indeed a God of all providence, meaning You provide for us exactly what we need. Heavenly Father, as we bring a portion of Your gifts back to You, O Lord, we pray that You sanctify this offering, using it to bless people around the globe with Your presence and Your mercy and Your love. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We serve Jesus. But do we serve Him only with our words? Do we experience the kind of giving our best to Jesus that the story this morning leads us to? These are questions to wonder throughout your week as we draw ever nearer to Holy Week. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.
What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Have a great day.